Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah here. We're holding Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel and Mirtz Hashem. Today, we will be learning at least part of Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are continuing to learn Hilchos Shabbos. We pick up today on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Simen Shin Yud Sif Dalid. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Five lines off the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Again, Simen Shin Yud Sif Dalit. Our learning should be a schus for Achenukum Beis Yisrael, and the sooner Batsaro Bashivya Haimdim Bei Bayom Ubei Bayabasha, Hamakim Yerachem Alehem Vyotzea Mitzar Lirvacha Mefele Laura, Umishibur Lugula Hashtabagala Uvizman Kariv, Venemar Amen. Our learning should be a schus for Fuishalema from Ashamab Nestor Fradl, Yitzhak Ben Sion Ben Dusha, Rafael Yisrael Menachem Ben Ita Gnendel Chavadasabas. Serol, they should have a refu shalom b'basar shachil Yisrael. Our learning should be a schus for Yonison ben Michal and Yael ben Michal. The Rabbeinu Shalom should watch over them together with all of our other brothers and sisters that find themselves in harm's way. So, continuing to learn the halachos of Muktzah. Back in Sif Beis, we learned that groys vitzimukin. If you take figs and you take grapes and you put them out on the rooftop or in the muktzah, so that was the storage area in the backyard of the house back in the day, but you took these figs, you took these grapes, and you spread them out in order for them to dry in the sun. We said that in that case, if you do this before Shabbos, those figs and those grapes become muktzah. Why they muktzah? Because when you go to dry figs and you go to dry grapes into raisins, the way the process works is when they begin to dry, they enter into a phase where they are not royal achila. It's only when they complete the drying process that they once again become royal achila as dried figs and as raisins. So we learned in the Mechaber, it's Sif Gimel, and we in Sif Beis, and we saw in the Mishnah Berurah that when you take the figs, you take the fresh figs, you take the fresh grapes, which are certainly not muktzah when they're fresh figs and fresh grapes, they're perfectly royal achila, but when you take them and you spread them out to dry them, what you're doing is you're dachinhu biyadayim. You're pushing them away. You're casting them aside. You're being makta them. You push them out of your mind. You intend not to use them because you know that when you put them out to dry, you know that you're going to cause them to be not royal achila. So you're dachinhu biyadayim. And they factually become not royal achila, so they're loy chazu. Those were the two checkboxes we said you need in order to take something like a perfectly edible fruit and turn it into something which is muktzah machmas gufay. There are two checkboxes you need to check off. One has to be there's dachinu biyadayim. You actually did a maisa and you pushed them aside. And the other thing you need is that they actually become loy chazu. They're not royal achila. In this case, you have both. That's what we learned in Sif Beis. Then in Sif Gimel, we learned the rule that kevan de iskat soy leben hashmoshes, when something is muktzah for the ben hashmoshes period, the ben hashmoshes period going into Shabbos on Friday evening, it remains muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. If something becomes muktzah so that it's muktzah for the entirety of the ben hashmoshes period, kevan de iskat soy leben hashmoshes, once it's muktzah during ben hashmoshes, iskat soy lekulayuma, it is going to remain muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. Well, when you combine Sif Beis with Sif Gimel, what you have is like this. If somebody on Erev Shabbos were to go ahead and put out figs and grapes to dry, he's making them muktzah. If they are in the muktzah state for the Bein Hashmashas period, they remain muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. So that means that even if the raisins or the dried figs are now ready to be eaten by Shal Shud Shabbos afternoon, you can't eat them. Because since they were muktzah during the Ben Hashmashas period, they remain muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. Now, against that backdrop, let's take a look and see what the Mechaber says in Sif Dalet. Says the Mechaber, Groy groy svitzimukim, the figs that are drying, or the grapes that are drying into raisins. Shehayu muktzim, they were muktzah. Now, what the Mechaber means is like this. Let's say you went ahead and you put these figs and these grapes out to dry early Friday morning, or maybe you even put them out to dry on Thursday afternoon. Now, once you put them out to dry, you put them into a status where they would be mukta. Now, it might not even be Shabbos right now. So if somebody asks you, are those mukta? Well, there's no mukta on Thursday. There's no mukta on Friday. But you put them into a status whereby they would be mukta. So groigreis v'tzimukim shahayu muktzim. Figs that are drying, grapes that are drying into raisins, shahoyu muktzim. They're in a state where they would be muktza. But then let's take a look what happened. Ukishehegia ben ashmoshes, but at some time during the ben ashmoshes period, Friday evening, kvar nisyavshu, they reached the point in the drying process where they became completely dry, vehem ru'uyim la'achila. And now they entered into the final phase of the drying process, where now they're raisins that are fully ready and they're dried figs that are fully ready. So again, what happened over here is you put them out to dry before Shabbos. They at first became not roi l'achila, so they would be mukta, but they were not mukta for the entirety of Ben Ashmoshes. They reached a point either before Ben Ashmoshes or at least during Ben Ashmoshes where they became roi l'achila. So at that point, they're not mukta. Now, says the Mechaber, a big chiddush. Af al pi shelo yodu habaylim ba'is ha-shah shenisyavshu. It's true. They reached a point where they became roi l'achila, but the owner didn't know. So the owner put out the grapes, put out the figs to dry, let's say Friday morning. I'm saying Friday morning. I don't know how long this process really takes. But he put them out to dry, let's say Friday morning. So when he put them out to dry, he was dechinu biyadayim. He pushed them aside by doing a maisa, by putting them out to dry. And he knew that they're entering a phase where they're going to be loichazu. They're not going to be royal achila, right? But now what happened is, guess what? It was a good, hot, sunny day, and they became roi l'achila during Ben Ashmoshes, but the Bailam didn't know. As far as the Bailam are concerned, in their mind, they think that they might not be roi l'achila. They don't know that they became roi l'achila. Va'achakach noido lehem, and then later they find out, the owner finds out, che Ben Ashmoshes kvar hoyu yaveshim. He finds out later, oh, you should know, those grapes, those raisins were already ready during Ben Ashmoshes. So maybe what happened over here is the owner put them out to dry Friday morning. He was the dechinu biyadayim, and he put them into a state where they're going to be not roi l'achila. In his mind, he thinks that these raisins and these dried figs are going to be mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. Because he knows the halacha. He knows I was dechinu biyadayim, I made them loy chazu, and he didn't think that they were going to be ready during the Ben Ashmoshes period. Okay, now it's Shabbos afternoon. He invited some guests over for Shalosh Shudis, and one of the guests says, hey, wait a second. You have those beautiful raisins and those beautiful dried figs out in the backyard. Why not bring some of them in for Shalosh Shudis? And the owner says, I can't bring them in. What do you mean? They're mukta. Well, why are they mukta? Well, they're mukta because I put them out to dry on Erev Shabbos. They probably weren't ready during Ben Ashmoshes. Came in this katzoy le Ben Ashmoshes, it's katzoy le kula yuma. The guest looks at him and says, no. I walked by your backyard in the middle of Ben Ashmoshes yesterday. I knew I'm coming to you for Shal Shudis. I was wondering if I'm going to have some of your famous dried figs and your famous raisins. So I went into the backyard and I took a look at them. And you should know that already in the middle of Ben Ashmoshes, they were already ready. So it turns out that you don't have Kevin Diskatsoy Leben Ashmoshes, Iskatsoy Lekula Yuma, because factually, they were not mukta for the entirety of Ben Ashmoshes. Says the Mechaber Mutter. Guess what? The raisins and the figs are mutter. Now, as the Mishnah Berurah is going to say, there's a very big chiddush over here. The chiddush over here is, remember what we keep on saying. What are the underpinnings of mukta? The whole underpinning of mukta is that mukta is the opposite of muchan. The whole problem with the groigreis and tzimukim is that the owner was matche them biyodayim. He knows he put them into a state where they're not roi l'achila, and therefore they're not muchan. In his mind, he didn't think that these fruits were going to be ready for Shabbos use. So he was makze them. He pushed them out of his mind. He doesn't think that they're ready for Shabbos use. Now, it turns out that factually, he was wrong. factually, they became ready during Ben Hashmashas. Says the Mechaber, even though in his mind he was makzeh them, even though in his mind he didn't think that they were going to be ready, since factually they were ready during Ben Hashmashas, the rule of Kevin is katzayla Ben Hashmashas is katzayla kula yuma does not apply. Let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is cut your Zion, says the Chafetz Chaim. Alpha Pisha Layadu Ritzayna Loimar, what the Mechaber wants to say is, like I explained, Vahava Mina, you would have said, the Machmazech Halalayushe Mukta. You would have thought that since in his mind they weren't going to be ready, they should be Mukta. The Huktsami Daitam Eloa Peris Peshabazu, because in his mind he was Makta these raisins and these figs from his mind for this Shabbos. Because he didn't expect them to be ready. Kamash balon d'lo yarminon hachi. The Mechaber is telling me we don't say that way. Tahare hu loy haya hisiach daita mehem, ele kadesha disyavshu. The Mishnah Berurah explains the reason for this is, when he was makta them from his mind, it was because of a mistake. It was because he assumed that they weren't going to be ready. Vahare kvar disyavish. But guess what? They were ready. And since they were ready, they were prepared for use. So in other words, what he has in his mind does not go against the Metzius. Just because he had in his mind something that turned out to be a mistake, that does not make them muktzah. The fact is that they were mukhan for use on Shabbos. His mistake doesn't go ahead and create a muktzah status. Okay, let's move on to Sif A, three lines off the bottom, says the Mechaber. Groy grois v'tzibukim d'chazu v'loy chazu. Let's say, you know, the line between when the figs and the grapes that are drying, the line from when they are not roy l'achila to when they become roy l'achila is not such a concrete black and white line. It's not that one second they're not roy l'achila and then the next nanosecond suddenly they become roy l'achila. There's kind of like a gray area. There's a point in time, you know, it's kind of like when you take a look at the bananas on the kitchen counter and you want to know if they're ready or if they're not ready. Well, some people like their bananas a little less ripe. Some people like their bananas when they're much riper. And then you have the people that like the bananas when they're already mushy. So too by the Grogeres and Tzimukim. There's a gray area where they're chazu v'loy chazu. They're somewhat ready, but they're not completely ready. That's the stage that the Mechaber is addressing over here. Grogeres and Tzimukim d'chazu v'loy chazu. If they're at a stage during the Ben Hashmashas period where they're chazu v'loy chazu, they're somewhat ready, but not completely ready. And what does that mean, says the Mechaber? De'ika inchi de'achlilei. There are some people who would eat them the way they are. Ve'ika de'loy achlilei. And there are some people who won't eat them the way they are. So then the Mechaber says an interesting thing. E azminei. If you go ahead and you say, I'm going to use those raisins and those figs on Shabbos. If you go ahead and you prepare them for use for Shabbos, you're azminei. So then, nafik lebi taras mukta. That's enough to make them not mukta. V'iloi, but if you weren't mazmin them, loi. Then you can't, then they remain mukta. So what's the Mechaber saying? He's saying a very interesting halacha. Like this, we usually would say, if the Grogeres and Tzimukim were not roy l'achila during Ben Hashmashas, so then they remain mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. If they were roy l'achila during Ben Hashmashas, then they're not mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. Comes along the Mechaber now and says, what if the Grogeres and Tzimukim were in this gray area with their chazu v'loy chazu? According to some people, they are ready, but by other people, no, they're not ripe enough. So then the Mechaber says, then you need an additional thing to take them out of the stage of mukta. And what is that? That's azmenei. That's, you have to be mazmen them. You have to look outside to the backyard. You have to say, okay, they're enough for me. I'm going to use them. Okay? If you're a guy who would use them and you're mazmin them, you say, I'm going to use them on Shabbos, so then fine. So then they're not mukta. I don't think it necessarily has to be that you're a guy who would use them. Even if you know that there are some people who would eat them that way, so you can be mazmin them. I'm going to serve them on Shabbos. They're already at a point where some people will use them. Okay, I'm going to use them on Shabbos. That's enough to take it out of mukta. But if you weren't mazmin them, then, sorry, they remain mukta. Why? Because they're not fully ready. You aren't mazmin them. If you are mazmin them, fine. But if not, not. continues the Mechaber on the bottom line, Aval in Einam Ru'uyim v'hizmino. Now that we already introduced the concept of being mazmin them, so now the Mechaber feels the need to say, all right, if you're telling me that hazmana could actually accomplish something, so what if they're not ready at all? What if they're taka not roi la'achila? And you go ahead and you say, all right, they're not roi la'achila, but I'm going to be mazmin them for Shabbos use anyway. Does that work? Says the Mechaber, no, hazmana lav milsihi, hazmana alone does not accomplish anything. Says the Mishnah, kot yud ches, dechazu v'loi chazu, you have these figs and grapes that are in this gray area, haynu shenis yavshu ptsas, they're somewhat dried, al hagag biba'od yoim, up on the roof or in the backyard. That's what it means, chazu v'loi chazu. They're somewhat dry, but not completely dry yet. But you can't do this with raisins or drying figs that are still not royal achila at all. Why? Because hazman alav milsi taharei heim ka'avonim va'ofar. The Chafetz Chaim says an interesting thing here. He's saying, you know why hazmanu doesn't work? Because when the grapes that are drying and the figs that are drying are not yet finished the drying process, they are muktza machmas gufay. There's something, it's not a keli, it's not considered a meichel right now because it's not royal achila. So what's it like? It's like sticks and stones and dirt. It's not a keli, it's not a meichel. What is it? It's intrinsically muktza, it's muktza machmas gufay. So says the Mechaber, let's say you have a stone in your backyard. Does hazmona make the stone not muktza? Now, we learned that there is something called yichud. There is something called being miyached, a stone. If you designate a stone for use, so if you know that you need a doorstop, you look out in the backyard, you see a good stone that would be a good doorstop, and you say, I am being miyached, that stone, to be a doorstop permanently, you're designated as a doorstop, yes, that could turn the stone from a stone that's muktza machmas gufay into a kli shemalachta leheter, and it could make it no longer muktza. We're not talking over here about yichud. We're talking over here about hazmona. Hazmona by the stone would be, you look outside in your backyard and you say, oh, I see a rock. I'm going to be mazmin that rock for use on Shabbos. As what? As a rock. You can't turn a rock into a kli shemalachta leheter by just being mazmin it. Yeah, it's a rock. I'm preparing that rock for Shabbos use. As what? As a rock. See, if you're miyaked it to be a doorstop, so then you turned it into a klisha malachta leheter. But you don't want a doorstop. You want a rock. You want a rock on Shabbos. I don't know why you want a rock. Maybe you don't even know why you want a rock. You just decided, you looked outside in the backyard, and you said, oh, rocks are muktzah. I don't want that rock to be muktzah. So I'm going to be mazmin it for Shabbos use. No, you can't be mazmin it for Shabbos use. A rock is muktzah. You could turn it into a keli by being miyaked it to be a certain type of keli. That you could do. But thus to be mazmin it as a rock, that you can't do. Same thing over here. You can't go ahead and take the drying grapes, the drying figs that are not royal achila and say, I want to be mazmin it for Shabbos use. I'm sorry. Undried, the grapes that are in the stage where they're not yet raisins and they started the drying process and they're not royal achila, those are muktzah machmas gufay, Charlie. You can't go in and say, well, I want to be mazmin it for use on Shabbos even though it's muktzah machmas gufay. That doesn't accomplish anything. Okay, now we have a very, very fascinating piece of Mishnah Berurah. This Mishnah Berurah is going back on the concept of Kevin de Iskatsoy Leben Ashmoshes, Iskatsoy Lekule Yuma. And the Mishnah Berurah is a very famous piece of Mishnah Berurah. It does have halacha lemaisa ramifications, which I'm not going to get into in today's share. I'll try to do it in the next share. But this is a very, very famous concept in the rule of Kevin de Iskatsoy Leben Ashmoshes, Iskatsoy Lekule Yuma. Kosva Paiskin, the Paiskin write, when is it that we apply the rule that when something is muktzah during Ben Hashmashas, it's katsoy l'kula yuma? Its muktzah status is determined for the entirety of Shabbos, and since it was muktzah Ben Hashmashas, it is now muktzah for the entirety of Shabbos. When do we apply that rule? Says the Mishnah Berurah, dafka dvarim shegemaroi bidei shamayim. That's only by things where, in order for them to become finished during the Ben Hashmashas period, the variables are not up to you. The variables are bidei shamayim. They're out of your control. What does that mean? Kigoin, for example, groy grois. Let's talk about the figs that are drying. So, when you want to dry figs, what do? At least back in the day, when you weren't using dehydrators, what did you do to dry figs? You took your fresh figs, you spread them out on the rooftop in the sun, you spread them out in the backyard, and now what? Well, now you hope that the weather is going to be favorable, you hope that it's not going to be a cloudy day or a rainy day, and you hope that the sun is going to beat on it, and it's going to be nice and hot outside, and the weather will go ahead and dry your figs for you. Now, is that in your hands? The weather is a variable that is out of your control. The weather is a variable that's bidei shamayim. It's not bidei odom. Says the Chavetz Chaim, when is it that you apply the rule of kevin diskatzoy leben hashmoshes iskatzoy lekula yuma? That's dafka dvarim shegmaroi bidei shamayim. That's only by things where in order for the process that they're in middle of to become finished, you need bidei shamayim. There are variables that are out of your control. Kigoyin groigrois, like the figs, de'en nigmarin el al yidei choymachama, that are not going to become fully dried into dried figs only by the heat of the sun. And therefore, v'shem yiyah yom anon b'Shabbos, maybe on Shabbos morning it'll be cloudy, v'asachtaiti minayu, and therefore you mesiach das from the drying figs and the drying grapes. So what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is like this. Remember, I can't stress this enough. We go back to the underpinnings of Muktzah. When you take your figs and you put them out to dry, why do they become Muktzah? They become Muktzah because you remove them from your mind for Shabbos use. Because you know that you put them out to dry. You know that they're going to become not roi la'achila. Therefore, they are no longer on your mind. You don't consider them available. You don't consider them mukhan, prepared for Shabbos use. And therefore, they are indeed muktzah. They're indeed not going to be available to you on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's only by something like drying figs. By drying figs, you're miyayish from them. You give up on, once you put those figs out to dry on Erev Shabbos, you have no expectation to use them on Shabbos. Why? Because you can't be confident that they're going to be available for use on Shabbos. Maybe you'll wake up Shabbos morning and it's raining. Maybe you'll wake up Shabbos morning and it's cloudy. And now the weather is not cooperating and your figs are not going to be dry. And you know that there are variables that are out of your control. And therefore, you're miyayish, kind of, on these figs, and you're makze them midaitoi. You give up on them. You don't intend on having them ready for Shabbos. Therefore, the rule of kevin diskatzoy leben hashmoshes is katzoy lekula yuma kicks in, and even if they happen to become ready by Shalosh Shudas time, you're not allowed to use them. Aval, however, continues the Mishnah Berurah, davar shenigbar bidei odom. But what if there's something where there are no variables that are out of your control? What if you're preparing something where all of the variables are in your control? And you know that even though it's not going to be roi during the Ben HaShemashes period, you know that it is going to be available later on Shabbos. So in that case, you didn't give up on them. It's true that they're not going to be ready during the entire Ben HaShemashes period, but you know for a fact that they're going to be ready tomorrow morning. Or you know for a fact that they're going to be ready tomorrow afternoon. So you're not makse them midaitoi. You're not miyayish from using them on Shabbos. These are things that are mukhan for Shabbos. They're not mukhan for Friday evening during Ben HaShemashes. They might not even be mukhan for the Friday night Suda. Maybe they won't even be mukhan for the Shabbos morning Suda. But they will be mukhan, and they are mukhan for Shalosh Shudas. Because you know that they're going to be ready. Do we apply the rule of kevin diskatzoy leben hashmoshes is katzoy lekula yuma? Says the Mishnah Berurah. No. Let's see it inside. Aval davar shenigmar bidei odom. But when we're talking about items where the finishing of the process, all of the variables are in your hands, keep going, for example. Timarim shenasan aleim mayim be'erev Shabbos. Somebody wants to make a drink. Mei timarim. Date water. He wants to have water that is the flavor of the dates. So what do? You take dates, you put them into a keli, you put water on them. You soak the dates in the water. Over time, the water absorbs the taste from the dates. Now, this is a process that takes time. When you first pour the water over the dates, you know what happens? The dates are not really roi lishtia, and the dates are not roi la'achila. Why? Because the dates become mushy and they become yucky because they're soaking in water. the water in the beginning of the process doesn't have a good taste. It doesn't have, it's not fresh water anymore, and it doesn't have the taste of the dates yet. So initially, this is kind of like the grogreis at simukim that are drying. Initially, the water is not good, and the dates are not good. But now, you're not dependent on the weather. You don't care what the weather is. You know it takes 6 hours to soak the dates in the water and to create this date water drink. So you know for a fact that it is going to be ready tomorrow. It's true, it's not going to be ready during Ben Hashmashas. Maybe you won't even be ready Friday night. But you know that tomorrow morning you will be ready. So you're not maksit midaitoi. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, davar shenigmar bidei adam, ki kamei tamarim shenasal alei mayim be'erev Shabbos, you put the water on the dates on Erev Shabbos, after bevadai einam ru'uyim be'ben Hashmashas, even though it's certainly not going to be ready during the Ben Hashmashas period, loya tamarim, not the dates, because they get yucky from soaking in the water, v'loya mayim, and not the water, because it doesn't yet absorb the date taste, but it's not fresh water either, so it's not good to drink, t'haloi kol tutam atmarim, it didn't get the flavor of the dates get you rukli and lishtia, that the water should be roy lishtia, the gama tmarim leis ataloi chazion, and the dates are not edible because they become yucky, filo hachi, still and all, in this case, loy asach daite minai while yoyim ha-shabbos, shiyehe mukta machmazeh, you're not makta this date water from your mind so that it should be mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. You know it's going to be ready tomorrow. Over here, all of the variables on your are in your hands. You're not going to spill it out. You're going to let the date soak. So by tomorrow, it's going to be ready. So says the Mishnah Berurah, this unbelievable chiddush and halacha over here, that we have to apply to certain cases of halacha lemaisa. This could be negated to wet laundry, etc., other things which Mishnah Hashem will try to talk about. So again, by the grogreis and simukim, the reason why we say kevidis katsoyle ben hashmashas is katsoyle kula yuma is because it's true that the grapes might dry into raisins and the figs might dry into dried figs by the time Shalosh Shudas comes around, but you cannot know for certain that it will, because it's dependent on variables that are out of your control. And therefore, we say that if it wasn't ready during Ben Hashmashas, it's iskatzoy lekula yuma. Why? Because you were mesiach das from them. As far as you're concerned, they're not going to be available for Shabbos use, and therefore they're muktzah. But by something where all of the variables are under your control, and you fully expect it to be ready during Shabbos, then you're not maktzah daitai from it. You're not mesiach das from that date water. And therefore, we do not apply this rule of kem de iskatsoi leben hashmashas, iskatsoi lekule yuma. That is Sif Hey. Let's move along to Sif Vav. The final word on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says the Mechaber, Kol Davar She'asal L'Taltaloi. Anything which is Mukta, and therefore it's Aser B'Tiltal, it's something that you're not allowed to move. Aser L'Tein Tachtov Keli. You're not allowed to place a Keli beneath this Mukta item. K'dei She'yipoil L'Soichoi. So that the Mukta item should fall into the Keli. Why? Because should the mukta item fall into the keli, you're going to make the keli aser betiltel, because it's going to be a basis. It's containing something that's mukta, and therefore you're not going to be allowed to move it. And now what you're doing is you're being mevatel a keli mehechanai. You're creating a situation where you have a keli that was mutter to be used. Now that it's containing mukta, you're not going to be able to move it. So what are you doing? You're being mevatel a keli mehechanai. You're taking a keli, let's say a bowl, that was not mukta at all. It was muchan. It was something which was able to be used on Shabbos. And you're allowing a situation to take place where now you're not going to be allowed to move this keli. So this is bittel kli mehechanoi, says the Mishnah, cut and chaf, v'nimtza mevatel kli, v'avikisoyser hakeli. This is like destroying the keli, because you had a keli that was eminently usable, now it's no longer usable, so it's like you're destroying that keli. Continues the Mechaber, aval, mutter lichbois alav keli. But what you could do is, let's say you have something that's muktzah. Let's say you have a wallet. You have a wallet full of $100 bills that wallet is completely mukta. The money is mukta machmas gufay. The wallet is a basis to the money. Therefore, the wallet is mukta machmas gufay. So here's a wallet that you're not allowed to move. Not tzarech gufay, not tzarech mekaymay. You could take a bowl and you could put the bowl on top of it because you're not being mevatel the bowl mehichanay. Once you put the bowl on top of the mukta wallet, if you want, 5 minutes later, you could pick up the bowl. The bowl isn't the basis ladavar aser. It's covering it. It's not beneath it. So you could pick it up and you could move it. So there's no shiloh bitl kli mehechana over here. So that's no problem. But says the mechaber ubavad shel yigabai, but when you do this, you have to be careful not to touch the item which is mukta. And of course, the Mishnah Berurah is going to have to explain these words of the mechaber, why you're not allowed to touch it. You're allowed to touch mukta. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ois Katan Chaf Aleph, Aval Muta Lichbais, you're allowed to take a keli and put it upside down over a davar mukta. Now, what's the chiddush over here? Why is this a chiddush? Right? Like I said, there's no bitl kli mehechana over here, so why would you think that this should be aser? Explains the Mishnah Berurah, Hainu Deloike Rebbe Yitzchak, the chiddush over here is to tell us that we do not paskin like Rebbe Yitzchak. Desvirle de aser l'taltal shum keli ele b'shvil davar hamutal l'taltal. The famous shita of Rebbe Yitzchak is that you're not allowed to move a keli. Even, let's say, a cereal bowl, which is totally a kli shemalach de leheter, you're not allowed to move it if the only reason you're moving it is to serve another keli, which is not mukta. So if you want to take a keli, you want to take a bowl, and you want to take it in order to cover up the wallet, why are you moving the bowl? You're not moving the bowl because you want the bowl. You're not moving the bowl because you want to use the bowl. You're moving the bowl because you want to cover the wallet. So you're moving a kli shemalach de leheter for the purposes of a wallet, which is mukta machmas gufay. Rabbi Yitzchak calls you're not allowed to do that. The mechaber is paskening, not like Rabbi Yitzchak. Says the Mishnah Berurah is katan chaf beis lo yigabay. The mechaber said you have to be careful in such a circumstance not to touch the dvar mukta. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'af agav demut ligabay mukta k'de le'el b'simit shel chesif gimel. Even though we learned earlier that there's nothing wrong with touching mukta. It's only moving mukta which is a problem. Says the Mishnah Berurah, hacha abeitza koi. Over here we're talking about something like an egg. We could relate to this again because eggs have now become rich man's food. So an egg is very, very valuable. So somebody has an egg and he wants to protect the egg. Now the egg is mukta machmas gufay. He wants to protect the egg, so he takes a bowl to cover up the egg. In that case, says the Bechaber, you have to be very careful not to touch the egg. Why? Ukadesha lo yinanea isa. Because the fact is that when you touch an egg, you're going to move it. When you touch an egg, you make it move. But indeed, if the mukta item is something which will not move because you touched it, shari, it would be mutter to touch it. He quotes this from the Be'er HaGoylov, Hagra, Ve'virayla, Zevechei Kosav, B'der HaChayim, V'doloi Kamagan of Ram V'taz. Moving along to Siv Zayin, says the Mechaber. This is a little bit of a tricky Mechaber. So first, we're going to learn it, the very Pashat Pshat, without the diuk that the Bir Halacha points out could be made from this Mechaber. First, we'll learn it in a very simple way. Says the Mechaber, Mita, a bed. Now, bed is certainly a kli shemalach de leheter, right? There's nothing mukta about a bed. You're allowed to use a bed. You're allowed to move a bed for any reason. Mita, a bed. Sheyesh aleha mo'is. The bed has money on it. So the Pashat way to learn this Mechaber is that on Erev Shabbos, let's remember, back in the day, they didn't have a lot of furniture. We have all sorts of furniture. We have dressers and credenzas and night tables and armoires, and we have file cabinets and we have desk drawers and we have everything else. Back in the day, they didn't have a lot of furniture. So somebody had money and he needed a place to put the money and he had an extra bed in the house. So he put money on the bed. So let's make this a very partial case. Friday afternoon, somebody came home from his business. Baruch Hashem, he was very successful. He had a good day. He has piles of money that he has to put somewhere. He had an extra bed in the house. He put the money on the bed. Now, he put the money on the bed with intent. He wanted a place to keep the money, and he wanted something to support the money. So he took the money, and he put it on the bed for the bed to be the support for the money. And when he put it there, his intention was that the money should remain there for Shabbos. Certainly it should remain there, at least for the Ben Hashmashas period, going into Shabbos. And now it's Shabbos, maybe it's Shabbos morning or Shabbos afternoon, and there's this bed that has money on it. Says the Mechaber, Mita Sheyesh Olei Amois, a bed that has money on it,
Oy, afilo ain't allowed ata. Or maybe now it's Shabbos afternoon and the money is no longer on the bed. Like I said last time, maybe the Enoch came and the Enoch took the money off the bed. So now, factually, the bed doesn't have money on it. But Vahaya Allah Ben Ashmashas. But the money was on the bed during the Ben Ashmashas period. Asala Taltala. Okay, you're not allowed to move the bed. The Migo Dis got Sahila Ben Ashmashas, because since the bed was Muktzah during the Ben Ashmashas period, why was the bed muktzah? Because the bed was a basis l'davar aser. In the case that I described to you, you met all of the requirements to create a basis. You took the money, you put the money on the bed with intent, you had it put it there with intent that it should remain there, at least for the Ben Hashmashas period, maybe even for the entire Shabbos, right? So you created a basis. You turned the bed that was a kli shemalach de'leheter into something which is muktzah. You made it a basis l'davar aser. Now, it could be that the Enoch came for the Shabbos morning suit and they took the money off the bed. But that doesn't change the muktzah status of the bed. The bed is still muktzah. Why? Because migoy des katzoyle ben hashmashas, since it was muktzah as a basis during ben hashmashas, is katzoyle kula yuma. It remains muktzah for the entirity of Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kalchav Gimel. V'haya aleha ben hashmashas. The money was on the bed during ben hashmashas. Points out to Mr. Rur what I told you. Umayri, the Mechaber, has to be talking about a case, shehiniach, where you put the money on the bed with intent, di b'shachach, because if the case wasn't that you put the money on the bed with intent that it should stay there, you unloaded your pocket, you meant to take the money off the bed before Shabbos and put it in the safe, but you forgot, you left the money on the bed. So then, haloi af ba'oidan amoyis aleh motel anaron. Then the bed doesn't become a basis l'davar aser, because you didn't put it there with intent that it should stay there. You put it there inadvertently. Now on Shabbos, if you want to clear the money off the bed, you're allowed to be menara the bed, you're allowed to shake the bed to use tiltal menatza to get the money off. Certainly the bed is not going to become muksa for the entirety of Shabbos. This is all as we have learned previously in Shintes Sif Dalet. Now says the Rama, going back to this case of the bed, four lines down, middle of the line, I go, this bed, which is now muktzah, so this bed, which was a klisha malach de leheter, that you turned into a basis l'davar aser. Now, what is it a basis to? It's a basis to money. What's money? Money is muktzah machmas gufay. What's the halach of something which is muktzah machmas gufay? You're not allowed to move it, not even tzarech mekaymai and tzarech gufay. Says the Rama, haga, this bed, you're not allowed to move this bed, even l'tzarech gufay or l'tzarech mekaymai. Explains the Mishnah Berurah, Eiskot l'chav dalid, the din habasis ka'oisai hamukta sha'alav. Something which is a basis l'davar ha'asar gets the same mukta halacha as the mukta item that it is a basis to. The Kevin de Mois have a mukta machmas gufay. Money is a mukta machmas gufay. So the bed that's a basis to the money is also mukta machmas gufay. And just like you're not allowed to move the wallet or the money, not even tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai, you're not allowed to move its basis, even tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. The asra afil tzarech gufay or mekaymai, gam din hamita kach hu. Continues the Mechaber five lines down. V'hu adin l'chol dvar heter shemunach alav iser. This is the same halacha that will apply to any dvar heter, anything that's a klisha malach de leheter, anything that is mutter to be moved on Shabbos, or even a klisha malach de leiser, shemunach alav iser. If you put something that is muktzah on top of it, and it's there for the Ben Hashmashas period, and you put it there with intent, so you made the thing under it a basis, that's going to be the halacha. If it was a basis during Ben Hashmashas, it's also for the entirety of Shabbos, and it takes on the iser status of whatever is on top of it. Aval, however, says the Mechaber, im ein olea atamois. But let's say there is no money on the bed now on Shabbos. V'gam loy hoya alea Ben Hashmashas, and there was no money on it during the Ben Hashmashas period. Mutter l'taltala, then it's mutter to move the bed. Now, so far we didn't say a chiddush. So far we just said, okay, you have a bed. It doesn't have money on it, and it didn't have money on it during Ben Hashmashas. You're allowed to move it. That's obvious. The Chiddush comes now. Afilu yichad olamois. This is true, even if you designated this bed to be used to put money on it. And you, in fact, did put money on it on Erev Shabbos before Shabbos began. So what the Mechaber just said is like this. Let's say, again, I was saying back in the day, you didn't have a lot of furniture. So let's say somebody Friday morning said, oh, what am I going to do with all the money that I'm going to bring home at the end of the day today before Shabbos? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it on that bed. So he designated this bed to be his safe for this Shabbos. And then he came home from the store and Itaka took his money and Itaka put it on the bed. So not only did he designate the bed to be the safe, he actually made the bed the safe and he actually went ahead and he used it. But then 2 minutes before Shkia, he changed his mind and he cleared the money off of the bed. Says the Mechaber, that bed's not muktzah. Even though you were miyachidit to be a basis for the money, and even though you actually did put money on it, since the fact is that you cleared the money off the bed and it wasn't there during the Ben Hashmashas period, it's not aser. Now that doesn't sound like a very big chiddush, but let's see what the Ramah says right away. Haga v'yesh oisrim b'yichid l'kach v'yinich behem. There are those that disagree. There are those that say if you designated the bed to be a klisha malach del iser, what does that mean? You turned this bed from a bed into a safe. You said, I'm using this bed to hold money. V'yiniach b'hem. And you actually did use it that way. Then, afa pisha silkan miba'idyoim, even though you took the money off before Shabbos started, this opinion holds that that bed would be muktzah. Why? I'll tell you why. Because in this case, these shitas hold, you turned this bed, it was a bed, it's not a bed anymore. Now it's a money support. You designated it to be a container for money, and you actually used it as a container for money. Now it's true, before Shabbos started, you took the money out, but it's still a money container. You designated it as a money container, you used it as a money container. So guess what? You turned something that was a bed, which is a klisha malach de leheter, into a money container, which is a klisha malach de leiser. That's what the Ramah is saying in the name of the Yesh Oisrim over here. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. It says the Mishnah Berurah is katan chaf, ois katan chaf, 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 hey. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Yesh Oisrim, b'yichid l'kach taimai. The rationale for this sheet is, d'hu geria mishar klisha malach del iser. Not only is this a klisha malach del iser, this bed that you turned into a money container, but it's even worse than a regular kli shemalach del iser. Now, the reason the Mishnah Berurah is saying this is because of, let's get there. Says the Mishnah Berurah like this. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's worse than a regular kli shemalach del iser. Why? Kevin sheyichado behed yolazeh, since you designated the bed to be a money container, mistama miyachid lamakim, mistama, by default, if you're using this bed as a money container, you are miyachid a place for it. You designated that this bed should stay in this particular place to go ahead and be your money container. And you have no intent on using it for anything else other than being a money container. But if you didn't even use it at all, even one time to put money on it, just from a designation, that wouldn't make it muktzah da hazman alav milsi. Let's remember, the case that we're talking about over here is where you designated the bed to be a money container, and on Erev Shabbos you actually used it as one because you put money on it on Erev Shabbos, even though you cleared it off later. Valkane, and therefore, explains to Mishnah Berurah, according to this opinion of the Ramah, Dino kemuktza machmas chisar and kiss. This bed would not only be a klisha malach de l'iser, which you're allowed to move, tzarech gufa, tzarech mekaymai, this bed would actually be similar to something which is muktza machmas chisar and kiss. Why? Because you have no, muktza machmas chisar and kiss is like the bris milah knife, that you're makbid, you wouldn't use it for anything else. What the Mishnah Berurah is explaining over here in the Ramah is that the Ramah is saying, if you designated the bed to be a money container and you actually used it as a money container, now you're turning it into something that's not only a klisha malach del iser, it's actually worse than that. It's actually something that you would be makbid not to use for anything else. Kain kasra poiskim. The kasra of Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham points out, According to this, this bed would actually be usher to move, even tzarek gufay or tzarek mekaymi. It would be something like, it's something that's like something which is muktzah machmas gufay. That's what muktzah machmas tzarek kisses. Menishar b'teimal ha-ramah, and he asks in wonderment on the Ramah, shekasav l'shitazu, who's going to write shortly, according to this opinion, tzarek gufay and mekaymi mutter, that it would be mutter to move this bed, tzarek gufay and tzarek mekaymi. The lesser, the Magen Avraham says that should not be true. Vevi rayas lazeh, v'cheid b'prisho b'yaragram askimim l'dvarav, v'ayin masha kasavnu l'ka-mei. Okay, we're going to pause over here. I know we didn't quite finish the page, but we're going to have to stop over here. We'll continue with Mirza Hashem next time, continuing in this Ramah. Thank you so much for joining me for Liman HaTorah. This was Liman HaTorah. Should be Megan against Klai Yisrael. The Rabbi Hashem should send Yeshua for first Parnassus. Shidduchim told those in need. We should be Zaychet to see the Biaskoel Tzedek. Be well.